Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. Well, today we begin a brand new sermon series called The Dark Side of the Legend. And we're going to look at the life of David. And we're not going to look at his glorious stories, his victorious stories, but we're actually going to look at his dark side and the times when maybe he has made a mistake, maybe he has sinned, maybe he has broken God's heart. But throughout the sermon series, I think you'll find that the protagonist isn't actually David. The protagonist of this sermon series is God and how God has shown mercy and grace and love and forgiveness to David, even during the times, and especially during the times when David has sinned. So today, this morning, we're going to sing about God's mercy and grace and sing about how God has brought us back to Him when we were so far away from Him. And so I'm going to invite you to use your voices to sing to God, use your posture to worship God, and worship God in prayer and in sermon. So now I'm going to invite you to stand. Let us enter into the presence of God together. Let's sing. Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, oh, hero of heaven, You conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, You have done great things. We dance in Your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high. Oh God, You have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know You will do it again. For Your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, You do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, You conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, You have done great things. We dance in Your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high. Oh God, You have done great things. Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, You have done great things.
Let's sing together, come on.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, You have done great things. You do great things. Oh, oh, hero of heaven, You conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, You have done great things. We dance in Your freedom, awake and alive. Your Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high. Oh God, You have done great things. Oh, You have done great things. Oh God, You do great things.
Thank you.
chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven to speak your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has broken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation
church, do you see that the greatest act that anybody has ever done in the history of mankind, the greatest act is when Jesus stepped onto the cross and was nailed. Because by that act, that great chasm between us, that great gap between man and God was removed. That veil was torn, so to speak. The veil that used to block God from us because we were too sinful. We were too broken. That's the greatest act that anybody has ever done. And church, the good news is that, if any point in time in your life, and maybe that's some of you right now, that you feel like you're so far from God, because of the brokenness and because of your filthiness and because you look at yourself and you go, I don't even like myself. How can God like me? I don't even approve of myself. How can God approve of me? And the good news here is for you, church. It's because of the work that Jesus has done on the cross. God says, you're my son and daughter. Because of the work that Jesus has done on the cross, you are approved by God. You are counted as righteous. And you can call God your Father. And that's the good news for you. So I'm going to invite you, if you haven't already, I'm going to invite you to put your belief in Him. Confess your sins and turn away. Turn away from the things that's making you sinful and making you broken, and confess them, bring them to God, because the promise and the good news is still there for you. Let's use this next song as a time of confession and drawing closer to God.
Life is not my own, but I am God's.
This is the promise of the scripture. It says, if we confess our sins, if we bring our sins to God and say that, God, we have done wrong, we're sorry for the things that we've done, it says, God is faithful and He's just to forgive us. And He's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's all by faith in Christ Jesus because of the work that He has done on the cross. So church, walk away today. Continue your day today with that promise in you that I am forgiven, not because of what I have done, but what Christ has done on the cross. And Jesus, we thank You for that greatest act that anybody has ever done. We thank You for the work You have done on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's so good to worship with you all. Please be seated as we go into sermon.
We live today in a world of chaos, and it is messy, and we have seen a lot of evils. The world is full of violence and abuse of power, anger and outrage, fears and sufferings. And we also see evil perpetuates and escalates among governments, authorities, and even among the peoples around us. The reality is we Christians is living in such conditions, and we definitely are not exempt from the temptation of evil. Many times, we feel the urge to act out of frustration and anger. And we attempt by lust, and we commit various degrees of adultery. We have a tendency to neglect the needs of others, and we fail times after times to administer justice. And we are also arrogant in many ways and always want to boast and take pride in our success. So how may we Christians face evil thoughts, mistakes, and failures? The truth is, the scriptures have recorded the similar kind of challenges that David has during his time. So how did David deal with all these kind of temptations and his many failures? So in the next 4 weeks, we're going to explore and take a deeper look at the life of David, especially some of his darkest moment in his life. Is there anything we can learn from the legend David? So let's begin our journey. As you may know, David is said to be a man after God's own heart. However, David's story, like most other Bible story, does not give us the perfect and complete polished image of David that which we can aspire. In fact, his story is full of rough edges in which we see how the servant of God is truly formed. On the surface, there seems to be nothing about David that would have impressed God. Nothing would really make God say, wow, that's my man. No, not at all. And you knew it. David was guilty of adultery, stealing, lying, deceiving, and murder. And these are hardly the kind of lifestyle described as a man after God's own heart. And he was not the perfect king. And he was not the perfect model which we can aspire. However, David's story immerses us in a reality. And that is, David is just like one of us living in a chaotic world. And if David can be a man after God's own heart despite his many failures, so can we. So let's move on to today's scripture, 1 Samuel 25. So unlike Saul, who had become king of Israel soon after Samuel appointed him, David had a long and difficult preparation before he was commanded as king. Saul believed David was a threat to him, so he wanted to get rid of David. And these eventually forced David to flee for his life and wander in the wilderness for years. David was without home for a long time, and can you imagine what David had gone through during those days? From a giant killer to the king's most favored person, and to a man who has already been chosen to be the next king of Israel and now become the most wanted criminal in the country, a wanderer and the leaders of a bunch of outlaws and gangsters. Can you imagine? And the situation is not getting better. Samuel, the kingmaker, the prophet who anointed David, just died. And these make the promise of God even more remote. And this set up the stage for the story we are about to explore in 1 Samuel 25. And one day, as it happened, David and his men encamped in Nabal's area, which is Maon. And this Nabal, this guy, is a very wealthy man, and he had like 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. David and his men were there for some time now, and they had done some good work and find ways to protect others from danger. And at that time was the sheep shearing time, and which usually there were parties and around the area, and oftentimes the banquet table were loaded with food and drinks. So David was in the neighborhood, and it's so natural for him to ask some food from Nabal, no doubt. So David sent 10 of his young men to ask Nabal for favor and for some donation. Imagine, David and his men has been protecting these shepherds for some time. As a matter of fact, they did a superb job, and they were a wall to them both by night and day. I'm sure David and his men would have no doubt in their minds that they would get something from Nabal in return. But the problem is, the reality is, David was dealing with Nabal. He was a harsh and evil businessman. So what happened? So Nabal arrogantly brushed David and his men aside, even though he had so many left over and extra to share. Nabal said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters." You see, Nabal not only refused to give David anything, but he also insulted David and his family publicly and questioned David's integrities. So David's young man go back home and told David everything what happened, and David lost his temper completely. You know, anger is one of the most deliberating emotions we wrestle with, especially in a world that is full of evils and conflicts. Anger is so unpredictable. Sometimes, you know, it's just an irritation or simply just a word. All of a sudden, anger may just burst out from inside out. And oftentimes, it comes out with such a force that it's very destructive. And this time, David was really provoked by Nabal. So to say David's kind of like just angry or just furious would be putting it mildly. And David said to his men, "Every man, strap on your sword." He ordered 2/3 of his army, 400 people, armed and prepared for battles. David was enraged with anger and was about to commit mass murder. And he said, "Surely in vain have I got all that this fellow has in the wilderness, and he has returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David, and more also by mourning, I leave so much as one male of all who belongs to him. 400 armed soldiers are ready to roll. David was enraged with anger and was ready to kill every man in Nabal's household. Can you imagine what is about to happen? If you ask me to stop David and his people from their mass murder mission, appears to be impossible. But by God's marvelous grace, there was no battle. There was no mass murder. God, especially in this case, protect David from murder and save many innocent people's life. How did God make this miracle happen? Abigail appears on the scene. She came in and de-escalated the situation. So Abigail jumped into action and quickly gathered food for David and his men for their protections. Then she sent off the gifts to David right away and hope the gifts can sweeten the situation a little bit more. Then Abigail followed and rode out to meet David. And when she met David, Abigail immediately got down from her donkey and fell on his knees, on her knees at his feet. "Oh, on me alone, my Lord, be the guilt." Abigail humbled herself and apologized everything that her husband did. And unlike her husband, Abigail truly knows who David really is. So she reminds David for his calling and his destiny. She said to David, "For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a shrewd house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and the evil shall not be found in you so long as you live." She reminded David that he has been called and appointed to fight God's battle, not his own battles against these foolish people like Nabal's. Abigail also reminded David that if men rise up to pursue him and seek his life, the life of his enemy shall be no more. David doesn't have to avenge his insult. God will do it for him. And at the end, Abigail reminds David his true destiny. The Lord will for sure raise him up to be the king of Israel. And when you, Master, become the king of Israel, you will not want this senseless murder on your record. So eventually, David came back to his senses and he relented. David graciously received the gifts from Abigail and aborted his mass murder missions and finally brought peace to the situation. What a miracle. What a story. You know, there are a few lessons to be learned in this story. And I just want to point out some of my observation. Number one, learning from Abigail. You can be God's instrument of peace. Imagine a woman, especially in ancient times, standing between an angry man and a foolish man. Both are very powerful. Abigail is willing to take up the challenge and become God's instrument of peace. And there's no battle. There's no mass murder. And instead, there is a feast among the people to celebrate the joy of salvation. You know, sometimes the Lord may use you just like Abigail to intervene in a difficult situation. Perhaps someone has expressed an intention to take a particular action, and you see that it might cause some huge damage. And maybe it's you are the one the Lord's calling to be God's instruments of peace, just as Abigail, because you were there, because you see it. If the Lord can use an armed woman, Abigail, to counter 400 armed soldiers and save David's and many innocent people's life, the Lord will be able to use you to become God's instruments of peace. So church, don't let opportunities pass by. You can be that person. My second observation is, one point is learning from David. One of the most remarkable things that I've learned and noticed in this story is David's unexpected turnaround. At first, David was enraged with anger. David, the remarkable man who modeled patience for years under the spears of Saul, lost control. And frankly, for a period of time, he was temporarily insane with anger. He was like so vulnerable at such moment, and he acted out of anger and frustration. And as you read the story, you can see the potential danger. But the most incredible things we see in the story was his unexpected turnaround. When God intervened, David stands down. David chose the way of the Lord instead of his anger. And he relent. And he graciously received a gift from Abigail's and abort his mass murder mission. You see, this is an amazing response from David. And is it any wonder David is a man after God's own heart? Think about it. David and his people are armed and are ready to kill. And yet he looked at this woman, Abigail, whom he has never met before. And he stopped and listened to her. And then he turns around and changed his entire course of action. Just right there. Let me repeat one more time. Think about it. David and his people are armed and are ready to kill, and yet he looked at this woman, Abigail, whom he has never met before. And he stopped and he listened to her, and he turned around and changed his entire course of action just right there. And David said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me." David understood. It was the Lord who sent Abigail to save him and those people. And David said, "I have obeyed your voice." You know, this is the voice from the Lord through Abigail. Talk about a man after God's own heart. This is one of the reasons when God intervenes, even though it is through a stranger, a woman in the ancient time, David stands down. David was willing to stop and listen. David was willing to turn around and change. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me, and I have obeyed your voice." When God opened up and speak, David listens and obeys the voice of the Lord, and this time through Abigail's. God knew no man will be perfect. To be a man after God's own heart, we need to be humble. And David set his heart to do everything God wants him to do. He's willing to surrender. He's willing to obey. Perhaps, if it's up to David, he may want to execute like justice, revenge, retaliation will be certain because he brought like 400 armed men, soldier with him. And I'm sure there are times too when you and I are in a similar situation, maybe in a similar situation that we may feel the same way as David. How may we respond? Retaliate, get even, revenge, take matters into our own hands. But you see, when God intervened and speak through Abigail, David stopped and listened. He's not trying to change anything from the Lord. Instead, David turns around and changed himself. David is a man after God's own heart. He set his heart to obey to the way of the Lord. Yet, Yes, David may have failed many times, but when God intervened, David stand down. And he's willing to stop and listen. He's willing to stop and turn around and change. And he has set his heart to obey. Church, are you willing to follow the path of our legend, David, and set your heart to obey the way of the Lord? What if one day God says to you, I want you to stop stealing through the scripture you read today and during your devotion time? Are you willing to obey and stop stealing? What if one day God says, I want you to stop cursing others through the teachings of your pastor during the Sunday service? Are you willing to obey and stop cursing? If one day God says, I want you to stop lying through the voice of your parents, are you willing to obey and stop lying? And if one day, if God says, I want you to stop sleeping around with your girlfriends or your boyfriends through your mentors or friends, are you willing to obey and stop doing it and adjust your life? What if one day, if God says to you, I want you to give yourself to me and serve, are you willing to obey and live for Him and His kingdom alone? Remember, David and his people are armed and are ready to kill. And yet, he looked at this woman, Abigail, whom he has never met before. And he stopped and he listens. And he knows she's sent by God to save. And David obeyed the voice of the Lord through Abigail. And he turns around and changed his entire course of actions just right there at that moment. So when God speaks and intervenes, brothers and sisters, are you willing to obey and turn around just as our legend David did? And this is how the story of 1 Samuel 25 ends. In about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. And David praised the Lord for his protection, saving him from doing something really, really bad. And this is what I learned from our God. He does send his angels to help and protect us. And when you do what is right, God will take care of all the impossible things. So at the end of the day, David doesn't have to avenge for his insult. God would do it for him. And he protects David from sinning against him. And this is our God. He genuinely cares and looks after us. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to let go your way and trust in Him? Are you willing to set your heart to obey? Will you please rise and stand?
For me to not believe,
is thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well. So let go, my soul. And winds still know His name. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and winds still know His name. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and winds still know His name. The waves and winds to know His name. It is well with my soul. Still know His name. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and winds still know His name. The waves and winds still know His name. The waves and winds still know His name.
The waves and the wind, they don't only know His name, they obey His name. The whole creation, they don't only know His name, they bow to His name. and they obey His command with one word. With one word, the waves are going to be still. And with one word, the winds are going to stop. And with one word of His, creation comes from nothing. And church, who are we to not obey His word? I don't know, throughout that sermon, whether God is telling you or reminding you of something that He's calling you to obey. Just listen and trust me and obey me. Maybe that's resolving a conflict you had with somebody. Or maybe that's leaving a bad habit. Or maybe even leaving a troubling relationship. Or maybe it's as simple as, will you obey me and spend time and listen to my words? What is God calling you to obey today? God, we pray for an obedient heart. Our heart that's sometimes like the wind and like the creation. They don't think, they don't object, they don't reason with your word, and they just listen and they go, they listen and they stop, and they listen and they turn around and they listen to your voice, and that's everything they need. And God, in some ways, I pray that we have that same obedience to your word. And through that obedience, may we experience your deliverance, your love, and your protection for us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
So as we wrap up our worship service today, I want to welcome those of you that it's your first time joining us in our online service. We want to welcome you. We'd love to get to know you, actually. So if you don't mind, we prepared a Connect card just for you, a digital online Connect card. And you can fill in your information there. Maybe if you have prayer requests, you can put it in. If you want to ask about small groups or our ministries, you can let us know in there. And our pastors, we'd love to get to connect with you and get to know you a little bit and tell you about our ministries. So if you're first time here, this is a Connect card that you can fill it in and so that we can connect with you. Now we're going to continue with our worship with offering. Offering is an act of worship that God has called us to do, to faithfully respond back to Him, the things that He has so faithfully blessed us with. So if you like, you can do your offering online, digitally. If you take your phone and you can scan the QR code with your camera app, and that should bring you to our website, and you can fill in your information, your credit card information through PayPal, and then you can do your offering that way. Or if you prefer, you can do check as well. You can do your offering through check, and you can find that address of our office on one of our end screen pages on that offering page, and you can mail a check to us as well. Now, I just have one more thing to note about the offering. As if you remember, in the month of May, in our Reaching Out campaign, what we have done is we have courageously given out in donation all the offering that we received in the month of May. And that probably means, and you know this already, that in the month of May, we have no income. We have zero income for the month of May. And this is an act of faith that we feel as a church we need to do. But that also means that financially and practically speaking, we have zero income for the month of May. We have taken out 1 month of income in our whole yearly budget. So I encourage you to keep giving faithfully and perhaps pray about it and whether you can support the church even more during this time. And because just one more note on that is because as the pastoral team is thinking about the possibility of reopening sometime in the distant future, nobody knows where that is right now. But as we think about those things, as we think about our plans and different venue options, the financial support that we have is a big consideration factor of where we can go and how we can go and when we can go. So I'm going to encourage you to keep giving faithfully, to keep praying about it, and to keep supporting the church. One last announcement I have for you is about ICOS. ICOS is our small group ministry. We're still meeting regularly now, even during this lockdown period, this COVID-19 period. We're meeting online, and I personally, I'm having a blast. Like, of course, I prefer to meet in person, but I also enjoy seeing people's faces, and I need this community support during this time. So if you have not joined a small group, I want to encourage you, maybe consider joining a small group. Especially today, I'm going to give an invitation. If you're a high school student, if you're a college student. We have high school and college archives, and I myself is in a college small group, and I have a great time with them. I really treasure our brotherhood and sisterhood. We read the Bible together, we talk about faith, we pray for one another, we walk through life together. Just a couple days ago, we had an outing, and we did this amazing race where we had a ton of fun. Of course, maintaining as much as we can social distancing. So if you haven't yet joined a small group, and if you're a college student, high school student, I want to encourage you to consider joining a small group. You can find a registration form on our website, fill that in, and one of our pastors is going to connect with you. So now, let me bless you and send you off with the word of God. Church, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, and do not despise the word of God. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and your soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Church, we'll see you next week.